Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan
Braden Holtby!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking at you live from the digs at Glen Burnie, Maryland. And so it's another week of Caps hockey talk, and it's a good one for once. Well, not for once, but a good one as opposed to the last several weeks. So glad you could join us. You from the District of Columbia, State of Maryland, and, of course, the Commonwealth of Virginia. Oh, the Commonwealth. But we won't get into that. Speaking of the Commonwealth, though, a jewel of the Commonwealth of Virginia. You know her, as I like to call her, the Mermaid Memeing Mentalist, the Fairfax's finest teaching prodigy. If you're lucky enough to have a child taught by her, it is a treat. She, of course, is the beautiful, wonderful Anna Knox.
Happy Tuesday, Gil.
Yes,
I feel like we haven't done a Tuesday show in a while.
No. Yeah, we tried to get it together. We usually record Mondays is the new schedule. Tried to get it together. Just wasn't happening. So pushed it for today. Weather was a tad bit more cooperative, allowing me to travel. So we're doing it now. So it's Tuesday, February the 12th. Happy Lincoln's birthday to those of you who are into that sort of thing. And we're recording.
Hold on. Who would be into that?
Oh, history buffs like myself.
Okay. Well, I mean, we all admire Lincoln as a president, but do we really, you know, I don't know. His birthday. Oh,
we made a monument to the guy, for crying out loud.
That's what I'm saying. But I mean, when you're like making it sound, you know, of
he's
course.
He's one of the four presidents that do the lap at the Nats games.
That's true.
I mean, who wouldn't
Matt
be into
beard?
Yeah.
All right. I'll let Locking it go.
No mustache beard. Yeah. Who wouldn't be into
Very few people can do that. So
yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Gil, please come playoffs. Don't go for that look.
Don't go for what look?
The Lincoln look.
Well.
No.
I can't promise anything, but you might have given my cousin, Reverend G. Redliner,
idea. Fuck my life. All right. Well, it's either that or I guess it's the lesser of two evils is that the Lincoln beard or the porn stash. So, the only person that can pull off the porn stash is Tommy. So, you got some pretty big competition.
Yeah. We'll see.
All right.
We'll see.
Anywho, so how are you doing?
Better. Just want to throw out a quick apology there. Work life, etc., etc. Got way too much in the way last week, so hence we had no show last week. Had a few issues to deal with at work that have left me a bit bitter and PO'd at my job. You want more details? You can private message me at the Facebook room or personally. But won't get into that. But basically, it was that caused us to not have a show last week because I just didn't feel properly prepared, nor did I feel like I was barely 75% due to all of the efforts I had to put in because of all that. And so I didn't feel it was fair to try to do a show as emotionally impaired, not that that's an excuse, but that's basically what I was. So I figured F it, just we'll save it for next week. So
yeah, that's good. When your mojo's not there, it's not there. And that was all good. Yeah. This last week has been, It's been good. It's been busy. God, I'm like, it's only Tuesday, Anna. It's only Tuesday. But yeah, we're gonna get through this. And I feel I feel so much better. Like, I was kind of going into that Kings game last night a little concerned, but I felt really good about it. So I know that we will definitely talk about last night's game later on. And you wanted to go ahead and kind of recap.
Yeah. So the 6-game homestand is over and done with. And as I said, as we record this, it is February 12th, around 5:30-ish Eastern time, as we're speaking to you now, you on the other side of the earbuds, the speakers, what have you. And of course, tonight they start a road swing in Columbus, Ohio, and several other games out in good old Cali, California. Here we come. And but there was the 6-game homestand before that. So we're going to zip through those 6 games. Obviously, it's going to be long if we do it the normal way that we do it. So we're going to zip through these Jacob Vrana style with speed.
That's my boy.
So,
who has been kicking ass lately.
Oh, yes. More on that later. Okay, so we're going to start with the game against the Calgary Flames. This was quite a while ago, late last week, I think it was. So we're going to do one or two quick highlights from the game. So it was last Friday, no, 2 Fridays ago. This was Nick Dowd opened the scoring. But the highlights, as far as I was concerned, was, the Caps' second goal that put them up 2-1 before the end of the first period. Great play by one of your favorites, Dmitry. What's his number? 23?
Yes.
Okay. So, yep. Yeah. So he was nosing around the net, and looking for the puck and looking for the puck, and didn't quite get the assist that he wanted from his teammates, but he found the rebound and put away the backhand, making it 2-1. So clearly this was a case of Yashkin, you shall receive. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll be here all month.
Lucky us.
Yes. And so
speaking of which, when, just because you said that pun, did you see I think it was Monumental Sports put out something on Instagram with Valentine's Day cards with making puns of some of the players, like, I'll check you out, or I'm checking you out, like Czech Republic for Verona.
Right.
And then there's I'm just jasking for you to be my Valentine. See, I need to laugh at that.
That's not where I got it from.
Yeah, but see, that but the only thing I thought of that whole time is like, my God, if Gil ever leaves his job, this is what he needs to do. You need to get into like the cheesy magnets, bumper stickers, mugs, puns, whatever, because that's you.
I'm telling you. But yeah, I mean, if that's to be had, then I'll dive into that. But neither here nor there. So that was a main highlight. The other one, of course, being it was an up and down game. But Evgeny Kuznetsov gets his 10th of the year on the power play, puts away the snapshot to make it 4-3 with less than a minute to go, and wins the game, does the bird dance and the walk off, et cetera, et cetera. Game number one in the books is a win. Second game, well, nothing to nothing to see here, because there was nothing to score here, as they were shut out by the Boston Bruins. And
that's a brutal game.
Brutal game, to watch. But got to give credit where credit is due. Tuukka Rask stood on his head for the majority of his game, stopped all of the shots that went his way, all 24 shots by the Caps. Great performance by him. Just abysmal, other than the physical aspect of the game was the only place where the Caps really showed any life. But
did you watch the game? I can't remember.
I I watched about as much of it as I could. I didn't see it till the very end. I got through maybe halfway through the third period, and it was getting late, and it just looked like they had run out of gas at that point.
And, I don't know what happened, but because usually, you know, I'm all like fucking Marshawn and kind of crazy, but I will tell you, Chara was on my shit list during this game. But I will say, you know, if you had to ask me one of the coolest names ever in a sport, Tuukka Rask.
Of course.
You know, Pecorini, he's good too, but Tuukka Rask, he just, I would never say this because, you know, I recall asking you when you told me that your cat's name is BJ. And I said, why BJ? And you said, because he looks like a BJ. And I said, how does someone look like a BJ? I will take that and say, this guy looks like a Tuukka. I love him. Okay. And, you know, hats off to that. Him.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like I said, credit where credit's due. He came up big when he had to. And that's really the story of the game. And you must have some sort of magical cat charms, because as soon as you had said his name, BJ Oshie did make a dash for my leg just now. And now he's running around our coffee table. So
BJ.
Yeah. So he's making like his namesake now with his favorite toy.
Good times.
So, good times. So moving on to the third game in the homestand, that against Vancouver. So Canucks, that was a 3-2 win. So the highlight mainly in that game, Jacob Vrana with the game-winning goal. So unfortunately, they came up short as far as the pizza effort. But I do know a decent Chinese place where you can get a pretty good poo-poo platter. But at least the Caps came away with the win there. Moving on to the fourth game in the series.
Wait, no mention of Beaks.
Come on. Well, yeah. I mea culpa. I'm sorry. That was, of course, Jay Beagle's homecoming game. And of course, there was the nice tribute video and the handshake and hug at center ice with the captain and all that. I didn't mean to gloss that over, but you know, you had to know that was coming. And that's really, I mean, for most folks, pardon me. I got the energy drink backing up on me. The reason for seeing the game, because you know, Vancouver, they're doing okay, but they're not real close to a playoff spot. So most thought this would be a walkover game, which as it turned out, it wasn't. But that was very nice to have Beegs come in and get his tribute video and get his dedication and all that. So that was pretty good to see. So yeah, thanks for pointing that out.
Of course. That's why you pay me the big bucks.
Yeah. Big bucks. If only. Okay. So the fourth game in the homestand was against Colorado. And we have a Burakovsky sighting. He opened the scoring with his seventh. Kuznetsov had his awakening as well. He got two goals in this game. Including the game winner. And I know what you're thinking, Anna. No, I have not forgotten about the other thing that happened in this game. In fact, I'm going to take a pause for the cause here and make it the controversial statement of this episode. Yes, of course, what I'm talking about is the Tom Wilson beatdown of one Ian
Cole.
Cole. Oh. Not Ian Knox, Ian Cole.
All right. That would be weird because I'd be like, who am I? What side am I on? Just kidding. I would never.
I know.
You know what? Go ahead. Make your controversial statement because I may shock you.
I'm going to say that this fight never should have happened. And not because Tom Wilson did a bad thing. No, he did the right thing. He did what he had to do. You know why he did what he had to do? Because the NHL, including its on-ice officials, does not do their job in penalizing these reckless hits. Unless, of course, it's Tom Wilson doing them. Yeah, agreed. I'm still on that bandwagon, people, and I'm not getting off. So deal. Anyway, if they police this kind of a thing properly, which they claim at the top of their lungs they're willing to do and should be doing just to avoid the obligatory concussion lawsuits that are coming their way, this kind of a thing wouldn't be allowed to stand. But of course, there was no call on the play. None whatsoever, at least as far as I can see. I'm going to double check that now.
Yeah, there wasn't. And it is. It's just beyond. I don't understand.
I tell a lie. I'm looking at the penalty summary, and he was indeed called for interference.
What, but, so 2 minutes?
Yeah. But that was it. That was it. 2 minutes. No. Oh, we've got to review this. We've got to crack down on this. No.
Well, and it's also, it's 2 minutes for a completely inappropriate and you know, reckless hit on a player who's coming back from a concussion. You know what? Right. So fuck off, Cole. I mean, what the hell? So that just got me riled up. And I have seen the social media and all the angles of the fight. I mean, we can only see the fight so many times. And you know what? I will say, I kind of was hoping Tommy could restrain a little bit and maybe stop about 5 punches before he did. or you're thinking maybe the refs may intervene, because I think this guy's out. Isn't Cole out indefinitely now?
I mean, I didn't hear. The last I heard he had to miss the practice, the next practice they had because of the injuries from the fight, but you know,
from said beat down. Right. But no, I think he might be out indefinitely, and that could just be because.
Right. And I just want to jump in here, not to cut you off, but I want to make sure of something here. We're not celebrating these injuries. Okay.
The only
freaking reason I'm mentioning this is because it never should have happened in the first place.
Agreed.
Because if the refs had done their jobs to begin with in policing this game, none of that would have ever happened. None of it. At all. But since the refs are in some sort of, they got goof gas sprayed on them or something. I don't know what. Profound in their depths of suckitude this year for some strange reason. More on that later.
Right. But it brings up just the, oh my God, like just that frustration of when you watch the highlight, if you watch it from, I don't care what angle, the hit on Kuzi, there is somebody right there. Like he saw it and nothing was done. You better believe if that was Wilson, he'd be out for the rest of the season. You know, so these inconsistencies are absolutely killing me. So, yeah, I'm just kind of shaking my head on this one.
I'm with you there. I am totally with you there. And that, yeah, it just, I don't know. I don't know. But if you thought that officiating was bad, wait till the next game against the FLA. That being the Panthers. And unfortunately, that was an overtime loss. But one of the calls in this game, holy hell, what was this guy thinking? I'm talking about the one at 16:35 of the first, where Christian Juice was called for elbowing against Colton Sevier. Sevier ran into the butt end of Juice's stick.
Right.
How in the blue hell is that elbowing? You tell me.
Somebody
tell me. I don't know.
When I watch the games, and you know that we're such huge, you know, Beninati and Locker and Alan May, Rob Carlson fans, like, you know, going to listen to them. Don't even get me started on Mike Milbury. But when you hear them get fired up about something, and then even so many minutes later, Alan May's not dropping it and Locker's not dropping it, you know it was a shitty call. You know it was so fucking... And of all players, like if this was a physical guy, like if this was a Marshawn, or, you know, and I can't even think of, or Orloff, you know, someone that you're like, oh yeah, I could totally see, you know, him being an asshole and doing something. But Christian Juice, I mean, come on, he's been out for like 25 games. He's not a fighter. He's not that guy. He's got crazy skills. I'm glad he's healthy and back with us, because he's done really well recently. But are you freaking kidding me? I mean, this is like, it was just, so this, again, it's, if I was Todd Reardon, I'm like, I don't even, there's nothing you can do except just shake your head and say, what the fuck? And I think that blew up all over the Power Play Point podcast Facebook page, of people just being like, are you kidding me? How does somebody run into someone's, like, how does that even happen? So yeah, that was just such a bullshit call.
So, one thing there, for the record, the referee's name who called that is Brad Watson. And you're right. All four members of the NBCSN Washington broadcast crew, to a man, all had a snarky comment about that call. So yes, you're right. It was so obviously bad that they felt forced to say something. And I don't know. Do they train refs to not watch hockey anymore? Because it was nowhere near an elbowing. It wasn't even butt ending, if you even look at that way. Juice was against the wall, balancing himself, and reached back with his stick to try and corral the puck. Anybody with eyes can see that that is what was taking place, except for Brad Watson. And I just have to wonder out loud, how much further do we have to go through the bottom of, as I said, suckitude for the quality of officiating for what we have been saying is the world's greatest team sport?
Right.
How much lower do you have to go?
I would say at this point, I'm completely convinced that these guys were all reinstated to be refs when they were let go from the NFL a couple of years ago. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, it's like they made, you know, that was a good, what, 5, 6, 7 years ago, whatever it was, when everyone's like, you have to be kidding me. And then all of a sudden, you know, there was this big uproar and everyone, you know, like, even when you had a replay, it's like, come on, you cannot do stuff like this. And then all of a sudden we've had this season, like from the beginning. And I remember in the beginning, you didn't come to their defense. I won't say that, but you did mention, like, listen, you know, some of them are new and they're just kind of, or newer, or they've been, you know, off on a break or something like that.
I have since pole vaulted over giving these idiots the benefit of the doubt.
Oh yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, so we're talking, you know, 40 games ago, you know, it was like, hey, all right, well, it's first game and bad calls, but, you know, let's shake off the rust kind of thing and move forward. Now, completely unacceptable. I mean, completely unacceptable. So who knows what's going to happen? I haven't looked to see who's on the ice tonight, but yeah.
Good that you mentioned that. So if you're ever curious about that, two sources who are pretty good about reporting who the refs are for Caps games and games in general anyway, Ed Frankovic on Twitter usually puts out a tweet as far as who the refs are for Caps games, and Scouting the Refs on Twitter, they put out the refs' names for every game as well. So those are two good sources in case you're interested in something like that.
Right.
So we're going to, okay, so let's finish out the highlights and lowlights of this game against the Panthers.
Mm-hmm. I think we're good.
Well, there's one more couple of quick things I wanted to mention. Burakovsky came out, had one of his recent strong games here. Right. So I did want to mention that because he is slowly but surely proving his worth, as it were. I think he had two assists in this game.
That's just it. I mean, let's I'm sorry to interrupt, sort of. At what point as a coach, as a GM, do you look at a player and say, too little, too late?
Good question. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no. I'm just like, I watch all the Caps games. I may have a hell of a time when they're playing at 10:30 on the West Coast, but I will suck it up somehow. And anyways, so when you're watching and you go through the series of games and he's not doing shit and he's just not up to his potential and, you know, we're 30 plus games in and he's got, you know, 5 points, then all of a sudden all this trade buzz is going around and you see him score, you know, the last, what, two games, or he's scored and he looks damn good. But at what point is it too little too late that, you know, you floated by with maybe 65-70% effort. And now you're kind of shitting bricks a little bit because it's like, oh, hey, you know, we could let you go very easily. And all of a sudden he turns it on. And now he looks good. And now people are like, well, do we want to mix up the lines? Everyone's so comfortable. Stanley Cup champion team and on and on. You gotta fucking earn that spot. And right now, I don't know if Reardon's going to say, okay, because I know the deadline's coming up, but, you know, are we going to sit back as, you know, if we, like, we may, like, we, you and I, matter on a panel of who's getting traded. But hypothetically, are we looking at the situation saying, okay, let's see how he does on the road? Like, how is he going to be right against CBJ tonight? You've got, you know, the Sharks. I mean, you've got Ducks, whatever. I mean, there's a whole slew of games that are coming up in the next 2 weeks on the road that are going to be tough. Like, I don't take any of these other teams for granted at this point anymore. But is that it? Like, hey, you do something in the next three games and we'll keep you. Or, you know, hey, happy trails, or good luck doing something else.
Yeah, true. Very true. And it is something to consider. And yes, we have not talked about it as much here on the Power Play Point podcast because, frankly, I mean, I put my thoughts out there in that I think what we should go for if inclined to deal him is to go for. And this is going to make somebody sick to their stomach, I know, but is to go for high to mid-round draft picks because sooner or later, the cupboard is going to be bare, right, whether we like to fathom that or not. A lot of these guys, yeah, they're young, but a lot more of these guys aren't getting any younger either. So that's something to consider, I would think. So if you can get a second or third rounder, you can talk a team into doing that, plus a face-off specialist, which I believe the last show, Chris Levesque suggested Brian Boyle. Well, that ship has sailed, unfortunately.
He got snatched up. Oh, my God.
He got snatched up. Yes, he sure did. So that's out of the picture now. But, I mean, if you're so inclined to deal him, that's what you go for, is one of those two things, or if you can have it, both of those two things. But I don't know if he can contribute, though. If he's in a position where he can contribute and be comfortable where he is and be more consistent, then maybe you want to keep him.
Right. No, and I've always been about keeping the team together. I know I was one in the beginning when they said, oh, Todd Reardon, you know, assistant, I don't know how much faith I have in him. And I thought, you know, I'm going to give the guy a chance because, you know, he was with the team, whether assistant coach or not, he was still there. So they weren't changing too many things going into this 2018-2019 season. But unfortunately, 65-9 are absolutely on my shit list. And I know we can't do anything about nine, but I'm done with Orlov. I'm done. I don't know what he could do to make me turn around and like, I don't know, wear his jersey or something. But he's not doing it for me. Barkowski, be consistent. Be consistent and we got your back. You know, like we want you in that. What is he like? Was he on the Eller Connolly line?
Yeah, it looks like looks like that's where he is now. So I think he might have found some comfort there finally. And it really showed because that line in the Florida game, they were responsible for 1, 2, 3 goals out of the 4 that they scored.
Right.
So you know, I think, you know, maybe, I don't know. I'm of two minds. I would not be surprised nor dismayed if they ended up deciding to keep him. But if you keep him, do not sign him to anything more than say a 1 or 2 year contract.
Agreed.
That's my take. Breaking news. I just got a little blurb on my app that said Evgeny Malkin has been suspended for a game for a high stick incident against Michael Roffel of the Philadelphia Flyers.
Oh shit.
So our friend Carrie from Philly will be interested in hearing about that. But yeah, finally, this is good because finally Malkin has something on his record.
Instead of
he served this penalty, he paid this fine, he blew this guy, whatever. But now he's got something on his record. So now you can't say, well, he's never done this before officially. Yes, he has. And now it's on his record.
Good. I hate that guy.
Yeah, so I knew you'd like that. So as soon as I saw that, I had to throw that in there.
Sweet.
One last thing I will throw in from the Florida game. The scoring was opened by, I guess you would call it, well, I would call it something of a modern version of the Mafia line. Frankie Vetrano, he gets his 18th of the year, and Vinny Trocek, he's the guy that assisted him. There's that. Now, I refer, quick little history lesson here. There was such a thing as a Mafia line. It was in the 70s. It was Phil Esposito, who was the godfather, and he had two Dons, Don Maloney and Don Murdoch. So, yes, that was a thing. Just want to throw that out there. I haven't forgotten my hockey history.
Okay.
Oh, ye fans of that. So now we come to the final game of the 6-game homestand. That's that was last night's game. This was probably, I want to call this the Rebel Yell of the 6 games. Rebel Yell, if you're as old as I am, was a famous roller coaster. You should know, you wouldn't know this. You haven't been in Virginia all that long.
But I was thinking Rebel Yell like Billy Idol, and I was all on board. But.
Yeah, well, it could be that too, but Rebel Yell was the famous roller coaster at the King's Dominion theme park.
Not my thing.
So, yeah, this was an up-and-down game. 2-2 at the end of the first. Captain opens the scoring with his 38th, league-leading 38th. And let's see, Andrei Berthakovsky. It was his birthday.
Stop.
He turned a year older that day, and he celebrated with another assist and a pretty strong game, if I have to say.
I agree.
Still, you know, like we said, if he's kept after the deadline, wouldn't surprise me, because if he keeps on being this consistent and this good, I don't see why they would get rid of him, unless it's an offer they can't refuse.
Stop.
Sorry, I still can't get rid of the Mafia thing. But yeah, this was an up and down game. As I said, the lead changed hands a couple times, and, it looked like the Kings were going to walk away with it. And then Caps came alive, late in the second, with, Juice with his one hander and, Jacob Vrana with his second game winner.
Can we just talk about that Juice goal though? I mean, I know you had that ton.
You like the fact that he did it one handed?
Yeah. I think my response was, minding gutter. Anyways, that was phenomenal. That to me was like, fuck yeah, welcome back. And Rana, I mean, man, but I will say, I mean, we talked about, I know you haven't finished through the LA game, but I think we need to just acknowledge the fact of, how when we did our round table call and one of the questions was about a player who we feel isn't living up to their potential, performing as well as we think. You recall this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I can't remember the question because I think I might have muted.
Well,
we're having the ice cream incident.
I think the question was who has been the most disappointing player
right
up to this point.
And we had, I believe, Christian, and I don't know about Lisa possibly, but I believe Kuzi's name was thrown out there. And yes. I didn't answer the question because I think I was dealing with the ice cream issue. And then I was pretty much like, if I was asked the question too, I definitely would have said that. And I am so glad that we talked about it because after All-Stars, he has been back to the player that we needed, you know, from day one. And I think we all had concerns when he was out and injured that he wasn't coming back 100%. Definitely myself included. I told you, Oshie and Kuzi to me just never looked the same after they came back. But what we saw last night with 92 was a player who is out there with the skills that we all know and love, with the speed that we all know and love. And I will say what I love about him is that when he is playing, and yes, he's intense, but when he's out there and he's having a good time, the whole team relaxes, you know, and that's what I feel like we just need to get back to enjoying the game of hockey and not trying so hard, because then we make these stupid fancy passes that blow up in our face and we've got hooking penalties that are killing us. So go back to that. Hey, listen, Stanley Cup champions, you know, we can do it, but let's go out for the love of the game and relax a little bit. And I think once, you know, he's out there and he's amped up, because I feel like a lot of the pressure, not even the pressure, but a lot of the players like to Ovechkin for kind of his vibe. I think Kuzi has something to add, you know, to these players too, to say, listen, I'm out there, I'm having fun, I've got my Sally dance, and I'm good to go. And he has been fucking awesome these last couple of games. So really, like, he's teacher pet this week.
Well, okay. So yeah, I was, it's good that you mentioned the hooking and holding penalties. I'll get to that in a second. But yeah, I think last week, because we had the round table, we missed your teacher pet of the week feature. So glad you brought that back. So yes, definitely Kuznetsov would fit that bill. But I just wanted to point out, just want to run with the penalty thing a little bit more here. I'm looking over the penalty summary. So there were 7 penalties in total called. The first 6 of them were either hooking or holding. So you had the LA Kings with the first 2. They were one was hooking, one was holding. Then it was hooking, all 3 against the Caps, and holding against the Kings. I don't know. So what the heck was going on here? Are we on K Street or what?
But nice. Look, I gave you accolades for that one. That was good.
Thank you.
I'm learning. I'm learning in my old age. what was it? The not Calgary. No, I think it was the Vancouver game. Vancouver, but totally correct me. There was a game in which Reardon put his foot down when it came to hooking, and it was Kuzi and Yaskin, I believe, that had to sit out.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I just can't remember what game it was.
Right. And so that I thought, okay, I'm joking. And you know, people think, oh, it's gonna be the newbie players, the Yaskins and whatever. But he sat down to vet, and hats off to Reardon to say, listen, you're not, untouchable. You can't be making stupid calls like this. And, Brett Connolly making a penalty at the end of that Panthers game that kind of blew it for us. And, oh, she's been in the sin bin. That kind of stuff. So when he's like, I'm not tolerating hooking, good for him. But I kind of wish he would have, I don't know, maybe he's going to crack down tonight. But it's just so not necessary. It's so not necessary. And I kind of make it like the equivalent to a face mask, 15-yard penalty in the NFL. It's like, you're not supposed to do that. And they're going to catch you right away. And you're going to fuck it up for your team. So don't do it. Don't grab the face mask. Don't hook. And, and then it's like, and it's not ever just like a sly maneuver. You've got, Ovechkin like, slapping the shins and hooking. It's like, there's an aggression there. So yeah, you're going to get called out on that. And that, for the amount of times that the refs has missed a bunch of calls, this seems to be the one thing that they're targeting this season. So quit fucking doing it, So yeah.
We'll see. And I thought I heard Locker say something during the game that the Caps actually lead the league in hooking and holding penalties.
Pretty sure
he said, in all seriousness, he did say that. So
yeah, I heard it last night.
You got something there. So yeah, they need to cut down on that for sure. But yeah, as you said though, Kuzi was most likely the best player in this homestand, really came alive. But to segue into what I hope is something of a regular feature here on the Triple P podcast, we're going to highlight, of course, you, the fan, and of course, we have our Facebook page. We have something of a game thread for every game, whether it's both Anna and myself that run it, or just Anna on some nights. Sometimes I just, the Z's get the better of me. From last night, we're going to focus on a guy we haven't talked about on the fans. We haven't talked about in a while, but whose quality comments and spot on observations are very key. And that's one Bernie Deal. So I'm going to take one from last night's thread. Kuzi needs to be stronger in the crease and take stick of Wagner. Don't let him get puck with stick. What he's talking about, of course, was the fact that Kuzi was on the ice for Wagner's second goal, which made things a little too close for comfort towards the end. So as good as Kuzi was, Bernie saying that, hey, guess what? You need to be good on the other end of the ice too.
Agreed.
And that was actually a response to a post that Ron Schrantz put out. You and I aren't the only ones PO'd about the state of the officiating in the NHL. Here he says, he goes on to say, another comment by Ron Schrantz, who basically, that was a non-BS call, a BS non-call, rather. It's an absolutely abysmal disgrace. One period, they call every little nitpick. The next period, it's mall ball. Only penalty was obvious hold on Backstrom. That one took about 5 seconds before it was called. Basically, he's not saying anything that hasn't already been said, that he hasn't already said, that the officiating has just been all the way across the board, series of animal feces droppings on the worst possible place. And yeah,
what's the worst possible place?
You name it, in your shoes, on your breakfast plate,
face or something,
in your car. I wasn't going to go there. This is a family show.
Right. Ew. But
whatever floats your boat there,
Yeah, no, that it doesn't float my boat. Don't worry. But when you see like the worst possible, ew. All right. And I wouldn't want to think of why it would ever be on my plate, but All right. Well, anywho, I got totally distracted. But yes, Bernie Diehl kicks ass.
Yes, he
does. Appreciate his comment. And you know what I will say? He is very quick to respond to Facebook posts and you know, bring his knowledge to the table. But I appreciate the fact that he's never a jerk about it. You know, there have been times that I have said things that he has absolutely looked at and been like, what the fuck are you thinking? But no berating, no degrading, nothing, just, you know, here are the facts kind of thing. And I appreciate that. And so I hope him and his brother, right, Ron?
Yes.
Yeah. I hope, you know, they just keep doing what they're doing. Cause I think there is, you know, they definitely put it out there, in all caps, no pun intended. And, you know, you can feel their love for the team for sure. So I think that's awesome.
Yes. And as I've said many times, you, definite passion for the team, for the game, for the right way that this ought to be played. But like you said, also, very gentlemanly in their treatment of fellow fans. So if you want to see how to be a Caps fan the right way, now, as I've said many, many times, follow his comments. So I'm going to throw in one last one that he threw in courtesy of last night's game. And this, of course, is a comment on the team in general. Lots of discipline issues with this team, lots of lazy puck watching in center ice on the first goal and near miss on that one. Too many stick penalties instead of playing D with their legs. First power play point, guys. Power play point. Guys staying way too long on PP. That's been a complaint of his for a long time. The unit staying far too long for the whole 2 minutes in some cases. But I digress. Ovi and Carlson need to get their asses off by 30 seconds to go, Mark, unless in zone, truth be told, should be 2 5-man units. I totally agree. You do not want your power play units being gassed, but unfortunately, that's what they're doing. So you want to keep the fresh legs out at all times because, as I've said in the past, you're up against four guys who have to cover the same ground. Sooner or later, they're going to get tired, okay? You, as a power play unit, you have to let the puck do the moving. The guys following you on the PK have to move with their legs. Sooner or later, they're going to get tired. Speed is always key, but if you can't keep up with the puck movement, sooner or later, you're going to dumb yourself out of position. Mm-hmm. And that's the key. And if you have the fresher legs, you have the better chance of doing that. But that's just it. They're not doing it. So simple fine-tuning by the coaching staff here will go a long way. And that's one of Bernie's long-standing points. So spot on as always. So we will leave it at that. Like I said, hopefully we'll make this a regular part of all of our episodes. That's observations and comments during the games or in general.
I'm waiting. Are you going to call it like the real deal?
Well, that's the funny thing. If it were just Bernie, yeah, I think I would do something like that. But I want to open it up to all of our listeners who leave comments. Bernie for sure will certainly be highlighted because Bernie.
Yeah, I agree.
So
go ahead. Sorry.
That's fine. So that's that. And we, of course, wrap up the home game stand. So here's the damage. 6 games played, 4 wins in regulation, 1 overtime loss. The fucking loser point as a result of number 10's ill time penalty. Thank you so much, BC. I'm kidding. I love you.
No, but, it did suck. It did suck. It, trust
yeah,
me.
Yeah, so. It sucked donkey balls.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but yeah.
And 1 regulation loss, as we mentioned, because Tuukka Rask stood on his head. Sorry, I was in a fantasy hockey league for 1 year. That was actually some guy's handle name. So
Tuukka Dump.
Yeah.
That's so great.
That you laugh at. That gets a laugh out of you.
That's so great.
All
yeah.
the jokes I throw out, and that's what gets a laugh out of you.
That was a good one. I need to find you, that guy.
You're like a clone of Mrs. Blue Liner. That you laugh at. Comment out of the blue you laugh at.
Yeah, well, anyway. You know, gotta keep you on your toes.
Yeah, that's true. speaking of fans who make comments that keep us on our toes and make yeah. other great observations, want to give a shout out at this point to Faye McKinnon, who hails all the way from Edinburgh, Scotland. She is a dedicated Caps fan, always chimes in with a good comment. I hope I'm not doing an injustice here. I don't know if she doesn't want the attention, but you can follow her at spelled Purple Fi. Her name is spelled F-I, but it's pronounced Faye. So it's Purple F-I, at Purple F-I on Twitter. You're a Caps fan. Well worth the follow, well worth the comment. And I mentioned her because we're going to do previews of coming attractions before we close with Don McLaren's Farm Report. Pardon me. So the okay. Why did you send me a text of? Oh my good Lord. Why did you?
Because I teach fifth grade boys, and this is the stuff I have to deal with.
Anna has decided to throw out the ultimate distraction by texting me. Oh God,
it's so good. I've got so many, but that just tells you where my head is tonight. Go ahead. I don't know if you can. I don't know if it'll do justice.
Oh good Lord. Anna has decided to totally derail the show by sending me a Photoshop text that says, "When you gamble on a fart and lose," and the picture that captions a picture of a Keebler
elf,
with the the white fudge stripes, which of course I think might be a veiled reference to your favorite band. But it says whoopsie on the package over top of the fudge stripes.
You're not doing
I didn't even read the frickin' caption and that the whoopsie was that's
I'll post it on the Facebook page tonight.
Yeah, please do, because the listeners aren't gonna understand. But yeah, the post the whole frickin' thing with the caption and all that.
Ugly.
Oh boy,
you missed me,
Faye. I'm so sorry. This is not how.
Well, here's the thing. So yes. Sidebar from the fart jokes, because again, I teach fifth grade boys. It's what I have to listen to all day long, and sometimes I have to discipline with a straight face when they do something. And I'm like, I'm gonna puke if you make my room smell like this again. And then I burst out laughing because it is what it is. But with Faye, we talked about, you and I spoke about doing an all-female show, hopefully sometime in March. And what? She is absolutely one that I want to have on, and I'm super excited. And she said in her response, which I thought was adorable, she's like, "But don't you guys have interesting people on?" I'm like, no, Gil and I aren't interesting, and we have the podcast. Kidding.
Let me stop you there. Why? We are very interesting people. Case in point, this lovely flatulence joke that we put out there for the entertainment of our listeners. I say
who doesn't laugh at stuff like that? I'm going to post
one aspect of how we are very interesting and entertaining, might I say. So,
but I know you wanted to talk about this, because I do have like two things I want to talk about, and then I'm ready for dinner.
Right. Okay. So, let me just get out the previews of coming attractions. And then, yes, I almost forgot you were at a particular event, but before we get to that, we're going to do the, previews, as I said. Next month is, Women's History Month. So as we just mentioned, we're looking to do an all-female call-in show. And Faye, if you're listening, do please consider calling in if you can. I know it's going to be long distance and very much a pain for you, but we would dearly, dearly love to have you on and hear your opinions. Yes, as I responded to you in that very same tweet, you are a passionate fan, you're a knowledgeable fan. So yes, of course, we want to hear from you.
Absolutely.
It matters not how insignificant you feel. You are not insignificant in our eyes because you are a Caps fan. And as I've said a million times, we make the Caps fan the star here. But also, of course, we're still in the middle of February, which is Black History Month. And so I would like to have at least one African-American fan. I've spoken to a particular gentleman who I've conversed with several times in both our Facebook room and Facebook in general and on Sports on the Hill. And so I'm looking to have him on. I won't name him just yet, but we're looking to have him on either next week or the week after. Probably going to do the last week of February for that show. So that's previews of coming attractions there. So that you know what to expect. So, okay, so we're going to close with the farm report from Don McLaren. But first, Anna, I understand you attended a very special charity event.
I did.
Why don't you tell us about that?
Fart jokes aside, I do have a serious side, kind of, and a big heart. So Dreams
a big
for
what?
Kids heart.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. Anyways, it is a family show, Gail, as you keep mm-hmm. reminding me. Mm-hmm. Dreams for Kids DC, an amazing organization that gives children and adults with disabilities an opportunity to, you know, just have a day of fun. And they do this with the Redskins. And we had an opportunity to volunteer. Ian and myself did it on Friday at MedStar. And I couldn't say enough amazing things about all of the volunteers and all of the parents and the participants that came out to skate. Just to see the smiles on these children's faces, some who are wheelchair bound and then were put like on a sled and pushed around the ice, which was phenomenal to see. Cool. Others, since I don't skate gracefully, Ian does. So he was assigned to actually three kids. They were all siblings, but the eldest daughter was 20. Her name was Jessica, and she has Down syndrome. And she had never been on skates before. And so he was out there and, you know, the moms, she has two moms. Moms were concerned that, you know, she was going to be just this hot mess. And I said, Dad, you know, my husband is, he's going to rock it. Like he's, he puts up with me on the ice. So he's, and sure enough, Jessica could, her smile infectious for the whole 90 minutes on the ice. It was just a very cool event. And I will say that it was nice to see, you know, the volunteers out there who, you know, you're with a kiddo that you don't know, you have pizza before you go on the ice and you're watching the Caps practice. And then you have 90 minutes on the ice and the parents are just in the stands, and to see them have an opportunity to talk with each other and meet each other and see how happy their child is. And, you know, kind of giving them that, like that 90 minute break of not having to be on the ice with them and letting them do something was truly just heartwarming. So, so on a Caps end, they had four players that came out. You had Eller, Dowd, Connolly, and Boyd. And I can't say enough amazing things about these four players. At one point, Nick Dowd went to a player who was in a sled and sat down on the ice to take pictures with him and to talk to him. At one point, you had Tiger taking a player around on a sled at at faster speeds. And, you know, and this kid was just laughing. And Brett Connolly, Ian had a chance to take a photo with him and said, you know, he could not have been nicer. And Travis Boyd, I mean, so it was really one of those moments of us wanting to do something. And I absolutely loved every part of it. I didn't need to get anything out of it other than seeing, you know, these kids smile. But to see these players come out, and there wasn't, I don't think there was one person on the ice that didn't have their, Slapshot was there too, that didn't have their picture taken, that the players didn't talk to and give their undivided attention to. So how can you not just love this team that much more? So I highly recommend Dreams for Kids DC.
Awesome. Awesome. And as I always say, yet another reason to put your love in this team, because they do things like this for the community.
They do.
So they're not just a sports team. They're part of the community. They're part of the DMV family of things.
Yes. And so, and my last thing is, and I know you and I didn't talk about this, but I did reach out to Brian Bingham when you were talking before, because I wanted to ask about Heather and how the chemo is going with her breast cancer. So I'm just going to read this really quick and then farm report and we're good. Is that okay?
I think so. Yes.
Okay. So he said, other than the tumor being gone, which is great.
Awesome.
Like, how awesome is that? She has 9 more treatments to go and things are going well. The best news is that the tumor is nowhere to be found. She feels worn down a lot and a bunch of small side effects, which sucks for her. But overall, things are progressing good, and thanks for your support. So Heather, keep kicking ass, girl. I love it. I see your pictures and chemo. I wish I could be there to sit with you during those treatments and keep you preoccupied. But you know what? We couldn't have been more excited to hear this great news. So keep rocking it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great, great news. Great to hear. As far as Heather's recovery is concerned, and that's of course Heather Bingham, wife of Caps fan Brian Bingham, who we spoke about a few weeks ago, and that's her kicking cancer's ass and putting it in its place. So, absolutely wonderful to hear that. I'm sorry. I'm losing it a bit because I'm thinking of absent friends and relatives that cancer has taken. So very glad to hear and see someone who is returning the favor, giving cancer a receipt and getting by. So I know Heather, if you're listening, I know that you'll get through those 9 treatments and come out of this better than ever. So that's great to hear. Sorry. I'm trying to control myself here, but like I said, you know, brings back a few memories. But I am truly glad that she's getting past it. So, okay. So, all right, now on to the last segment. And that of course is the, farm report from our chocolate soldiers up in Hershey. We'll try to get through this, as quickly as we can. We do have 3 weeks to cover, but suffice it to say, it is worth talking about because the Bears are on a hot streak. So here we go, starting with the games from week 17. Bears at Lehigh Valley, 2-1 shootout loss, but Samsonov stops 25. The next Saturday, Bears at the Laval Rocket, that's Canadiens farm team, 4-2 win. Vanacek in goal for that one. 2-2-19, Bears at Lehigh Valley, 2-1 win. Walker and Sproul scoring. Bears at the Belleville Centers, 3-2 shootout win. Vanacek in goal for that one. 2-6-19, Bears at the Thunderbirds, that's Florida's team. Barber, O'Brien, Whitney, and Pilon. Samsonov with 35 saves, that's a career high. Okay, getting back to this week, Bears at the Charlotte Checkers, that's a Hurricanes affiliate. 3-2 shootout win. Stop me if you've heard this before. Certain someone, we're going to talk about in a second, or we already did sort of. on the score sheet for that one. And of course, the most recent Sunday, again against the Checkers, 2-1 win. Megnun Barber with the goal. Samsonov stopping 29, outstanding in their field. The sights Riley Barber, Scarbosa again having another good week. Ryan Sproul on the defense, praises both goalies. Playing exceptional well and exceptionally well, that is, and benefiting from overall good team defense. Bears are currently on a 12-game point streak, six-game winning streak, and only a couple points out of fourth in the division, which puts them well within striking distance of a playoff spot in the AHL in the race for the Calder Cup. Okay, hopefully that wasn't too fast. For all you fans of the Chocolate Soldiers, the Hershey Bars. And so I think that'll wrap it up for this edition of the Power Play Point podcast. So we're going to put it out there. Oh, so yes, before I get to my end here, of course, wanted to do a reminder.
Anyways,
of course, Jonas Siegenthaler being sent back down to Hershey and being a part of that great team defense. So hopefully he got his seasoning. But I just want to close the show and remind you that there is an advantage of living in Switzerland. Speaking of Jonas Siegenthaler, the flag they have is a big plus.
You're such an ass. Well, and hey, I just want to throw out there to all listeners, whatnot, have an amazing Valentine's Day on Thursday.
Yes, to all our lovers.
Stupid
and losers.
Stupid holiday, but that's okay. And Gil, on Monday, we will be talking about your 45th birthday that comes up on Sunday.
Yeah, love we me. Will.
Uh-huh. Love me, love me.
Yeah, right. And as I always say, and if you can't get enough of Anna, and who can't, you can catch her on Sports on the Hill podcast that Monday as well.
Good times.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
We did run long, so there is that.
I know. So. That's what she said.